each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Tony, how are you?
Fine.
It's a Monday. What are we doing here on a Monday?
Wait, it is Monday.
It is Monday, yeah. Mary is in Washington, D.C., I think I believe that's what's going on there, and I just got back from New York City, the Big Apple. I don't know, is it allergies or cold or what?
I'm just saying your voice is a little deeper.
Yeah, it feels kind of nice, you know. But I was up all night, all day. Yeah, well, we saw each other at Mass,
right.
And I got through all the Masses yesterday, and. But by the time I got to the 11:30, it was really a struggle.
See, that's what I was afraid of, because I know when you go and you're traveling, it's like that.
It just I needed Kleenex, and the kids, the altar servers had colds, you know.
Help.
One of them kept kicking me, as we were going up and down the altar rail. He kept kicking me, his shoes kept hitting my shoes. So after the I said, Efren, I said, well, why were you kicking me? He says, I said, next time I'm going to kick you back, Anyway, it was, and then all afternoon, I had to go to the CVS and buy Kleenex again. And,
kind of go through that.
Yeah. And every time I'm always asking these pharmacists, what do I take? I've tried Claritin. I've tried Allegra. I've tried Benadryl, which I took that last night, so that's why I'm a little groggy today.
Yeah, see, Benadryl always gets me sleepy, so I never
try to avoid it. Yeah. But it's the only thing but believe it or not, it's the only thing that works for me. And what else? Zyrtex. I've tried everything.
Yeah, I've done tens.
So yesterday, I told the pharmacist yesterday. I said, why? I took a Claritin and an Allegra. She said, you took a Claritin and an Allegra. I said, yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I. An hour later because it wasn't doing it. And she said, you're not supposed to do that. I said, well, then tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what
I'm supposed to do. Not working.
So I don't know. I'm going to see an allergist in a couple of weeks anyway. So, but how are you doing?
I'm good.
Boy, you were kind of
the same thing
fired up yesterday at the reading,
I noticed you mentioned that, and
I was
wondering, what did you really mean?
Well, I mean, you put
a strong reading.
But it was a strong reading, and you read it in a very strong way.
And I think that's what I think. I, in answer to your question, I think it hit me. And I was just saying this to one of my little nephews. I was saying, it's really, I've read scripture, and both of those readings to me, like, I was reading it for the first time for some odd reason. I don't know. I must have read them before, but I think they were really zoning in on what I was feeling at the time. And I think that's why it was really kind of forceful.
It's the living word of God. And that's the thing that's very impressive about sacred scripture is that it's you're hearing things for the first time. You've heard things all your life. And then all of a sudden you're hearing it for the first time, or this light bulb goes off in your head, or it's like it's the words just really penetrate deeply the deep recesses of the soul.
It's starting to happen a lot for me.
Yeah, well that's a good sign, I think, maybe perhaps, I don't know, but I'll tell you, those were they were powerful readings, and I have to say, and we'll talk about that because we said we would, And by the way, did I even say this is Father Anthony and here's Tony?
Everybody knows the
Tele to Tonys.
Maybe the people are a little thrown off because it's a Monday.
It's a Monday, yeah.
On a Monday,
I mean, I'd like to be on every day. I'd like to do that, but it's just it's not. And it's good that people. Mary's great, you know. Mm-hmm. So and Father Coyes, I mean, you know, Father Coyes, he's been with us, you know,
since
the beginning, yeah. But anyway, it's just unfortunately. And this is my frustration, and I realize I talk what I think, or I think mm-hmm. what I talk, or what I'm
say what's on your mind.
Whatever, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I always say I'm not a very organized thinker, but the and what was I going to say? The frustration mm-hmm. is, you know, I've said this many times so that people don't think, maybe they think this, but, you know, that they'll understand that I'm being pulled in so many different directions.
Yes.
And so to try to focus on one thing in a parish, it's just impossible. You don't know what's coming to the door from one day to the next. And even yesterday was just, you know, in addition to the masses, which were, you know, I don't take that away from me because that's that's my sacred space, mm-hmm. Safe space, I should say, you know, sacred space,
safe space.
But it's all the stuff that happens in between and after. And so the whole afternoon was busy all afternoon. And then today it's just been, and then all night fighting yeah. The allergies or the cold or whatever. I don't know if it's a cold, if it's allergies or what. But today, just feeling groggy. But I've got to get this letter done, and I have to say, quite, you know. So I did the letter. I just about finished it actually for the bulletin. So we always have to meet a deadline. And but I woke up and I have my prayer. I do my rebounder. I exercise, you know, which is. A good 45 minutes just bouncing up and down. I just invested in this.
Huh? It's a trampoline.
It's a trampoline, yeah. But it's supposed to be really, really good for your overall health and all that. And so a couple of people have told me about it, and then I finally, in July, I invested in one, and it took me a little while, and I went overboard in the beginning, and so then I was things got out of sync,
right.
So my body—I was, you know, I felt like I was a crippled man. You're using muscles you hadn't used before, right. And all that. But I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it's really I like this this exercise. So I do that, and then I had my prayer, and then I knew I had to do the letter, and then I knew we were going to be on the radio today, and then I'm fighting the cold or allergies or whatever right. it is. And I thought the temptation is, well, I can't do the radio. And I thought, no, I'm just going to go right into it. You know, I'm just going to do it. We're going to do it. I told Tony yesterday we're going to be on the radio. He said, I know he's going to come. I know he's going to be on time. And he almost made it today. You did make it. You were on time. But I had an answer to my prayer as I was praying. I prayed the divine office. I prayed the rosary, and then I have a time for just. Meditation, reflection, a contemplation. It's just being in the presence of God. And I just said, why do I not understand? You know, what is it that I don't get? Why is God so hard to grasp? So hard to grasp. And it may sound strange coming from a priest, yeah. But at the same time, I think it's important that people understand. And I've said this many, many times. We're on this search. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it? So then I opened up the readings for this coming Sunday, because I have to begin to put together a letter. As right. I said, we have to meet a deadline, so I have to have the letter ready by tomorrow, so that it can get in the printer, so that it's there for the bulletin. And some people said, you know, I should not write so much. Nobody reads it. I mean, nobody reads it. Yeah, we're in an age of sound bites, you know. The less the better. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, mm-hmm. to be honest, because I find myself doing that as well, that I, you know, as I skim through the news and all that, I just look at the sound bites. I don't bother. Sometimes I'll read, right. A whole, it depends on where I find my interest. But anyway, so I said, I'm going to make the letter short. But anyway, what are the readings? So what's coming up? Mm-hmm. And when you know it, the first reading is from the book of Isaiah, and it spells it right out as if God was saying, well, here's the answer to your question, you know? And what was it? But, you know, that God's ways are not our ways. That God is high above the heavens. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so God is above us. And that we cannot fully grasp the mystery that God is. And so that was, I was happy to hear that, because it's a truth. It's a truth. We are in the exile. We are on the way. We are in the journey. And when I say exile, I mean I go back to what St. Augustine said, we're not going to rest until we rest in God. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you know, God has, while he's, and this became part of the my reflection on in the letter, because I think I'm done. I thank God for that. I think, but that while God is as high as the heavens are above the earth, so God's ways are above our ways, God's thoughts above our thoughts, but yet he deems us worthy, these are my words now, it's probably in the scripture, but he deems us worthy to allow us a share in the mystery that he is, and he's certainly revealed himself in Christ. And so in Jesus we see the face of God, and so we know what God's expectations of us are, each of us, you know, each and every one of us, those who have faith. Now having said that, and this was my a little bit of a struggle last week when I was in New York. So I was only there 2 days, you know, just 2 days, kind of a retreat. I just needed to. I worked in Brooklyn years ago, and so I know and I love New York City, and I love the city. I gravitate toward cities. I don't go. I don't want to go into the country. I don't want to go to a monastery.
Where the people are.
I like to be where the people are. Yeah, I like to watch people. I like to study people.
Some of us were worried because you always tend to gravitate toward some kind of action, some kind of something happening.
Well, the last time that happened, you're right. I was in an accident. Right. Actually, you know what's funny? Funny you say that, because I heard on the news this morning that in Queens, a tour bus, there was an accident between a tour bus and a car or something like that. Anyway, whatever. But I thought about the time I was on a tour bus. It was one of those sightseeing buses, and we were in an accident, hit a post in Times Square of all places.
Wow.
So you had, and what was the funniest thing? I don't know if I mentioned this before. I don't know if we even talked about this story. But so here we are, you know, this is Times Square, and this was probably about 4 years ago, maybe, because I try to go every few years or every couple of years. Now I'm going to try to go, you know, every few months or four, because I just need it. I need, and I explain that too. But I was in, so I was on this site, because what I do is I walk.
Right.
So I'm a walk. I like to walk the city. That's what I do when I go to Rome, and that's what I do when I go to New York. In Chicago, I meet people.
Right.
I meet people I know.
You can. It's not safe here because you can't get away.
No, and I love the big city. I love Chicago. Right. Chicago's a beautiful city. It's certainly not as big as New York. It's certainly, but it's a very similar. It's like a twin city to New York, I think. They call it Second City for a reason. I suppose that's where that comes from. I don't know, but
something like that.
But it's and there's always this debate as to which has a beautiful, more beautiful skyline.
Yeah.
I kind of think Chicago's a beautiful city, but New York is, because I don't live there. I guess
it's easier to do that because you just visit.
So. But but I walked the whole of Manhattan, and this time I was in Brooklyn, and I went to Harlem, the Bronx.
Wow!
You know, so I was all over the place, and but I walk, and then when I tire of walking, because what I do is I'll buy a 2 day pass or 3 day pass, depending on how many days I'm there, so that if I want, I can just get on a tour bus, and get on the top, and I just love the ride and just watch from the top of the bus. And I'll tell you, I did. The first time in Chicago, when my sister and some friends came up about a year ago in October, for the first time ever in Chicago, I took the tour bus, the sightseeing tour, both the tour of the city during the day, during the night, the riverboat. Mm-hmm. And it is fascinating. Chicago is a... In fact, I remember saying, wow, this is more beautiful than New York. Mm-hmm. I remember saying that. Now I got to go do it again and see if it really is. You
right.
know? Because when I was on the sightseeing bus and... Mm-hmm. In New York, what I like about New York is the bridges.
Yeah, that's what we don't have here.
Yeah, we got bridges that go over the river, right. But they've got bridges that go over the they got the big rivers, right. You know, but Brooklyn Bridge, Williams Bridge, Washington, the Van Nuys. I don't, but anyway, there's they fascinate me. Right. I just love the bridges. I used to when I worked in Brooklyn, I used to walk across Brooklyn Bridge, and I do that. I didn't do it this time, but I normally make it a point to walk across. Brooklyn Bridge, but anyways, on this sightseeing bus, and this was the last time I was there, and we hit a I couldn't see because I was on the bus, but we hit a post. Somehow we swerved into a light post, and it knocked over. It went over, and I think we hit a car. There was a car that was hit as well, and. You know, everything, you know, stopped. We had to stay on top of the right. bus. And the police came from everywhere. Even the, it was interesting. Let me just say that it was interesting. Ambulances came. A couple of people were hurt on the ground, not on the bus. I think maybe somebody in the front of the bus might have had a little minor injury or something that went away in an ambulance. But the Hasidic Jews came. The Orthodox Hasidic mm-hmm. Jews with they're dressed in a specific way, but they have their own ambulance.
Wow!
And so they came. I guess there's a kosher way of mm-hmm. Dealing with injuries or patients or whatever. Oh. But it was quite interesting to watch all mm-hmm. that from above. And then of course all the news media are out there. And actually saw myself. I think I pointed it out to Jerry.
You right.
know. Because she saw it, she heard it on the news while I was there. Yeah, I was on that bus.
People are always worried to see what's going on.
Yeah, there's always something, right?
And who happens to be in the middle of everything?
Yeah.
Father Tony.
In Greece, the island of Patmos. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I got the scar to prove that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but it's just a fascinating to walk and to think. This was my struggle, I guess, while I was there last week was, gosh, does anybody really care? I mean, there's so much movement and hustle and bustle, and you know, it's a very, very, very busy city. It is really the city that doesn't sleep, and but people, you talk about power and money, and I guess you'd see it in Chicago too. But again, right. I'm Chicago is my work, my home, and where I work. But I was sitting there, the kind of woe is me, you know, what did I do with my life? You know, does anybody care? I mean, everybody's getting along just fine and having a good time. And then, of course, you get the theater district. And I should go to the opera or to the plays or something. I'm a weird kind of a person. I'm a loner, because I'm so much around, inundated right. with people that I like
you
the
just
time
be.
Just to be. Nobody's calling my name. Right. And how many times I thought I heard somebody call Father, and I thought, who's
who knows me here?
And it's really weird. I mean, you hear it all the time, but yet it's not. It's a figment of my imagination, I guess. I don't know, but it's nice to be anonymous mm-hmm. and just to be have the freedom. And I go to these little cheap diners. This one that I always go to, and they know me. They're still there. The people are still there. They're always there. And I sit outside, and I just love to sit out there and watch. It's just north of the busyness of Times Square, mm-hmm. so it's closer. I think it's maybe 53rd or 55th Street. I'm not sure. But it's a little bit away from Times Square. But you see all the people as they're coming back from the theater,
right.
From the theater, yeah, right. The opera, the theaters mm-hmm. and all that, and it's just fascinating. And then the other thing, too, is what fascinates me is what it takes to make a city work.
Yeah, you think about that.
I've talked about that often, and this is what really, really fascinates me. It takes, I mean, you've got Wall Street, you've got the, you know, your people with the money, you got, I mean, how do all these people afford to live? Even here in Chicago, all this stuff, that's like, I had to take a ride. Was it Saturday? I think I took a ride because I'd got back from New York City, mm-hmm. and I wanted to Now I'm going to make this comparison, you know. I got to see Chicago and make a bit of a, I'm making this comparison. Mm-hmm. And Chicago's a massive city, no doubt. It's the city of big shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of power here as well. But all these high-rises that are going up here as well as in New York City, so where do these people get the money to live? And what do they do? What do they all do? I mean, there's a lot. I was reading in Chicago, there's like 53 high-rises that are going up in Chicago.
Wow.
The third tallest is, I've been watching, waiting for this for a long time, but just on the upper Wacker toward the lake, it's going up. They're well on the way now. Where do they get that money? What do they do? And what have I done with my life? That's what I said. What have I done? Woe is me. And nobody really cares about the faith, about God, you know. This is again a figment of my imagination, because you see things on the surface and you don't know. It's just like somebody said with this Facebook that these guys have opened up, the parish Facebook. You get all these beautiful pictures of people who are asking for prayers. And I go through every one of those. I bring them before the Lord in prayer. And it brings us back to reality that, you know, who does not have suffering in their life? If it's not in their personal life, it's a member of the family or a friend or something, you know. And what a tragedy in Florida, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that all last week as well. My family's in Florida, but mm-hmm. they're on the panhandle, so they didn't really get, they just got some of the tropical wind, but it was quite a tragedy.
I mean, I've been trying to stay away from the news, because, you know,
But
one, I think it was yesterday, I sat and I was looking at the pictures, and I thought, oh my, how this happens, and the wreckage.
Absolutely.
Like the Keys, I
completely devastated. Yeah. Completely.
But I think at a whim, something like that happens, and the way they're showing how there's more coming, and, you know, how they just gather and then they disperse.
And Houston is still, I think, underwater. I mean, once you have that water damage,
it's bad.
So, I mean, you know, life is a struggle, but not to be deceived by the, it's fascinating what man can do, man and woman.
Yeah.
To be politically correct, you know, but that, you know, the build, I just find it fascinating. So I was going to say, and then we'll take a break, but I'm going to be all over the place, I think. But
that's good.
We're going to get into this, your vengeance, you know, because you had such passion when you said that yesterday when you read that first reading. Mm-hmm. But So sitting there, you know, see, in New York, the difference, Chicago's advantage to New York is we have alleys, so the trash can be picked up in the alley. In New York City, everything is they have no alleys.
Yeah.
So all the trash is put in the front, so the trash people have to, the garbage men have to come by.
Wow.
A garbage men, garbage women, garbage people, whatever, they have to come by and pick up all the trash. So I watched that, and because I was at my little diner at midnight, you know, because it's open 24/7. Right. Like our church, you know, the diner's open 20. We should open up a diner. That's what we should do. I bet that would bring people over. I'm going to think about that. Open up a diner on a property here. But let people watch the expressway or look at the skyline, you know.
That would be a perfect place to watch.
Because we get a beautiful view of the skyline here in Chicago. But the, you know, just watching this, you know, what it takes to collect the garbage and how necessary that is.
Yeah.
Or even this guy that comes. And they've got, you know, like we have here, these where you put your money in to park, really rob you of your money, you know, all over the city of Chicago now. You got to put a quarter in, you get, what 5 minutes for a quarter? And
at least, maybe a minute now.
$10 in for an hour, I don't know. But they've got these, something similar there, of course, in New York, but they're taller. So I didn't really go in and inspect, you know, exactly what it was, because I was walking, I wasn't driving. And but I watch these guys, this guy come, he pulls up in his little truck, cleaning truck or whatever. He gets out, he takes a picture, all four sides of the this object.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that? A meter.
Yeah.
I guess a meter, but it's a tall meter.
Right.
And he's taking a picture of all four sides, and then he cleans it, and then he takes another picture with his phone.
Wow.
So I suspect he has to show the boss that indeed he cleaned the meter.
That would be a lot of pictures.
Well, because it goes from one to the other. Right. And this, you got to cover the whole city of New York. Now, how many people are doing that? But it's a big city. But can you imagine? It's just fascinating. Wow. It's just fascinating. Police, firemen. I arrived there on 9/11. By the way, I wanted to get there earlier, but I didn't get into the museum. But the fountains are really what's the word? Eerie.
Wow.
Eerie. They cover the whole footprint of the Twin Towers. So there's two of them. And they're flat. They have all the names around them. And then the water goes down into, it goes down and then down into I thought of Dante's Inferno.
Oh.
It was just eerie like that, you know. I thought, gosh, it just seemed depressing. And it was.
Levels.
But not what's, it comes off the side.
Mm-hmm.
Goes down, and then
it goes down
flattens
slow.
Out, and then it goes down in the center.
Oh.
But it's just an eerie, dark, sad reminder of what happened. And I guess that was the purpose of it, because I expected something a little bit different. I hadn't even seen pictures of it, because it's been there for a while. But there's a beauty about it. I don't know if beauty is even the right word. It's just a very stark, vivid reminder of the atrocity that was done, you know, by those terrorists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think of the images, I think especially the images of those people who were jumping out of the windows.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I think of when I...
Yeah, just unbelievable. So I was there, I arrived there at 9/11, mm-hmm. but I didn't get into New York until the afternoon. So I went down there and... I'm just fascinated by what it takes. And I was thinking too, you know, that heaven, for me, is a bit of both. It's the city as well as the natural beauty of things. But there is I guess you wouldn't call it can you say a natural beauty about a city? I find what man can do, you know, this creative energy, this creative power that God has put into the mind and into the hands of men, into their hearts, is just fascinating, giving us a share in his creative energy, his creative power, and that we can, you know, build these skyscrapers and that we can, you know, it's just not the buildings, but it's, again, I look at everything. I'm looking at the, you know, these fire trucks and I was going to say about the fire trucks. So I stayed not too far from one of the fire stations, and 15 firefighters died from that fire station, and they had their pictures, and there was a monument, and there was, of course, because it was 9/11, there were flowers that were placed there. They were there all week. So this is the 2 days. I arrived, then it was 2 days, and I came back the fourth day. But hospitals, you need hospital, you know, everything. It's just people to feed people, to clean, to take care of the tourist. It's
a
fascinating.
Lot that goes into it.
It is. It's just fascinating to make a city work. All right, we will take a break, and we gotta get into that vengeance you were speaking about. I want to know about that. That was Tony yesterday, and he was a first
on
reader.
On fire.
On fire, really. I thought, you know, I should just let you keep going, you know. So. Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
First, it was Hurricane Harvey devastating the people of Texas who are now trying to rebuild their lives. Then, Florida was hit with Hurricane Irma, leaving destruction in its wake. The people of these states will need our help for many months or even years to come. How can you help? The first thing to do is to pray for our brothers and sisters who have suffered during these storms. Then, make a donation to Catholic Charities USA Hurricane Relief, where 100% of your donations will go to help with the needs of life, healthcare, and to rebuild their communities. Visit CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org, where you can donate online, by phone, or text. Thank you. In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd. At 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 65 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Monday, unusual day for us to be on the radio. We used to be on every Monday, but anyway, so Tony, yesterday, at the you were one of the readers, you and your wife. Mm-hmm. She did a beautiful job, by the way.
She does.
She always does. You were... really on fire. I mean, there was so you started out. Do you have the reading there in front of you?
No, I don't.
So I have it here.
Good.
But this was the reading from the book of Sirach. Mm-hmm. And wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. And the vengeful, and you really put a lot of emphasis on the vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. So what was it about that?
You know, I think that there's another line in there that says, if God remembers it in detail, but I forgive. Or,
exactly, yeah.
That's the thing that really hit me. As if we can be, we can, and I guess the anger and things I hold in my life. And I think at this moment, that was a little of something. I was going through, I don't know what I've been going through. It's probably not for the air right now, but I've just been angry lately. I've been angry. I've been, you know, just and not understanding why. And then when we think about how it's a feeling, you know, that's all anger is. And if you let things bother you, you're letting that bother you. You're reacting to whatever that is.
Sure.
And I'm not even going to try to understand anger because I don't. But it was just the line that really got me as I read this a few times is God knows all your sins. So how could you not forgive the next person? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I forgive you of all your sins, so could not you do that the same?
Right.
And I thought of that line, and I just, about the reading, how simple God's words are, and we make it difficult. You ever know that? I mean, just be good. How do you, you know what I'm saying?
It's yeah, that's what I was writing this morning, that God's... And I appreciated reading this again. You know, again, as you've read it before, but we were highly limited and slow. If God is slow to anger, we're slow to learn, I think, you know, perhaps, or at least I am. And, you know, that God's ways are as high as the heaven is above the earth, mm-hmm. so God's ways are so high above us, his thoughts, his ways. And yet he's chosen to reveal himself, to show himself. We've seen a God in Christ. There's this whole preparation for Christ with the Hebrew scripture. So what provoked my, actually this comes back to this mm-hmm. idea of vengeance. Okay, I was trying to remember where I mentioned, you know, because I appreciated, you kind of woke me up. I wasn't asleep, but I mean, you kind of, when you read the reading, mm-hmm. it inspired something in me, to be honest.
And see, that's the thing. I got to be really honest. A lot of times I try to read, and in my mind, when I practice it, I start, and I hope that, like you said, my words, although they're not really mine, they're what God puts into my heart the way I say it. I hope that is the thing that people see. You know, that is the thing people hear. And there's moments when, you know, sometimes I fumble a word and I get lost. I get really nervous. And I just hope that, okay, Lord, work through me so the people that are listening can hear you and not me.
Exactly, and that's exactly.
I always forget about that.
No, that's true, and that's my frustration as mm-hmm. well, because it's just like you want to get out of the way. I know I get in the way. Mm-hmm. I'm very egocentric, and so I gotta, you know, get over myself.
Right. So I'm not trying to stop you there. I'm not trying to say
No. I know this about myself, right. You know. So, but at the same time, I want to grasp what I cannot grasp, the mystery of God. And yet, as I say, God has deemed us worthy to share in that mystery, to find the pearl that is priceless, so that we want to sell everything in order to come into the possession of that pearl. But nonetheless, we're in the exile, so we're separated from God, and yet God is with us. This is all part of the mystery and part of the frustration, because we do get in the way. And even you're proclaiming a living word. The word of God is a living word. In the church, we say, so we have the living word of God. We have the living tradition of the church. It's a living tradition. God very much alive in the ongoing journey of the church, a living tradition, a living sacred magisterium, a living teaching authority. And then, of course, to the extent that we're disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, then we become, in essence, we become the sacrament that mediates grace, and so God then can use us. I always feel like when I say God uses us, it's as if, you know, we're this thing that God uses. He doesn't use us, but He works through us. In other words, I believe that the goal of our lives as Christians, as Catholics, sacramental people, is to allow God possession of our lives, that the Lord reproduce his life in us, that we can say with St. Paul, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who live in me. So it goes back to what you were saying. You know, in proclaiming the word, let me get out of the way so that it's Christ, God, the Spirit of God that is being communicated. And that's the goal. And I know, I get in the way. So when you were reading, I said it inspired me, and I think it assisted me as I had to then prepare to read the gospel and then give the exhortation, the homily. And I felt really inspired, and it's a beautiful feeling. By the way, I have to say this. You know, it's not that it's without fault. And I'll tell you when I say that, because if I go somewhere, I listen to a priest, because I know priests tend to be the most critical. We tend to be very critical of each other. It seems to me, based on, you know, my days in the seminary and down through the years, but. I have to say quite honestly that when I go to Mass somewhere, and it's not that I do it often because I have the Mass, but when I do, and even as I go back to when I was in the seminary, if I could get anything, if I get just something, let's say the priest speaks 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. If I get something, if I can take something from that, then I consider it a good homily or a good sermon. We don't use the word sermon. Sermon would go on. I guess I do sermons sometimes. They go on for a long time. But I'm trying to, you know, shorten that a little bit too so that I don't get in the way. Trying to. But the point being that that listening to the reading, so let me just say something about my preparation, and I've said this before, I don't prepare well because my mind is all over the place, and it's I've always felt like a child in a candy store. You know, there's just too much. You know, where do you go?
It's kind of amazing you say that, because just with the homily on Sunday, which I loved, and I was hoping that that's what we would do today, and I kind of do that a lot on Sundays, but I can't believe that I've watched. I can't believe that you say that, because I guess I see the Spirit at times move, and I guess that's what you're
But that's my frustration, is that I don't put that trust, you know, because I'm too worried about what I don't have to say or what I'm supposed to say.
Exactly.
Or is it gonna, but when I, like yesterday was an example where I just felt that God was in charge, and I felt that I was truly an instrument in the hand of God. And I could sense, you know, even the people, because, of course, just to remind everybody who's listening, because I'm sure everybody went to Mass, or if you didn't go to Mass, even if you're not Catholic, and the whole readings were about, the gist of the readings, it was about God's mercy, incomprehensible mercy, that, you know, because Peter will say, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times a day if he offends me? And Peter doesn't wait for an answer. He's going to answer the question, because he's going to give the biblical answer. And in this way, he's going to impress the teacher, Jesus. And so he doesn't wait for the Lord to answer the question, how many times a day should I forgive my brother if he offends me? Peter says, seven times, because, well, Scripture says that the just man sins seven times a day. And Jesus, he says, no, Peter, not seven, 77 times a day. In other words, forgiveness is offered in an infinite way. If somebody is truly repentant, but even if they're not, see, this is the thing, if I have to forgive, even if you've offended me, I have an obligation, a biblical obligation to forgive you, even if you don't seek my forgiveness. And that was a point that one of the points I made. A lot of points now that come to mind, and we're going to run out of time. But because in the parable that Jesus gave us, those the king's servants, they're begging that the king be merciful and be compassionate. And he is. But then one of those servants was not merciful and compassionate to another who owed him money. And so the bottom line was that he was sent to the torturers because he didn't act in a merciful way, in a compassionate way, as the king had been compassionate, merciful to the
servant.
To the servant who owed him. Now, Jesus, we didn't have to beg. We didn't beg for redemption. We didn't beg for salvation. It was a gift that was given freely. You know, Jesus came to atone for our sins. He who was not sin was made sin. He took our sins to himself. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Even interestingly, because those who put the nail in his hands, crowned his head with thorns and scourged him, they knew what they were doing. But Jesus, you know, looking deeper into piercing the deep recesses of the soul, you know, Father, forgive them. But it's not just he's looking down through the whole of history, history that preceded him and history that would follow him. So this atoning sacrifice this Paschal mystery is renewed and perpetuated until he comes at the end of time, because we remain sinners in need of forgiveness, and we've yet to die. So we've been through the sacrificial suffering, sacrificial death of Jesus, his resurrection. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. We've been set free from our slavery to sin and death, and yet we still sin, and we've yet to die. And so this isn't going to be fully realized until the end of time. In the meantime, we partake in this font of divine mercy as we're being constantly renewed, fed, so we don't collapse, and so that we're in the work of, or we allow God the work of purification, transformation, and the sanctification of our lives. But we didn't have to beg for forgiveness. We got to take a break, I'm sorry to say, but we got to do that, and we'll come back. Don't let me forget. We'll go back to these seven petitions, because it occurred to me yesterday, and I said it, there's this one thing. If we do not do this, we will not go to heaven. And I found it, and I'm still reflecting on this, because there's the unforgivable sin, which is the sin against the Holy Spirit. God's desire to forgive is infinite. But specifically, something we must do, and if we don't do it, we will not go to heaven. And this didn't come through only in yesterday's gospel, but it comes through in other places in the gospels as well. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 65 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. .org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're almost out of time, and there's a lot now that I want to say.
So, I hate when this happens.
I know it happens because I'm rambling about other things. No, you know, I'm talking about New York, you know, and But it's all part of it, you know. That's just the way it is. It's gotta, we gotta, you know. This is just, I can't do it any other way. This, I'm sorry. This is just the way it is. But in any case, and these are sound bites. So you know, so this, somebody said you talk. You know, so these are sound bites. But anyway, the thing that as I said before the break, there's one thing that we must do, and if we don't do this, we will not go to heaven, based on what Jesus has said. And what is that? You know, I go back to the Our Father, and I've mentioned this several times on the radio over the years, but there are seven petitions. It's the only prayer that Jesus gave us, the Our Father. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And he says, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Okay? Thy name be holy. That's one of the petitions. Thy name be holy. Thy kingdom come. And so, let me live so as not to offend the name of God. Let me give witness to God's kingdom in our midst. Not fully realized until the end of time, but in our midst. This is the mission of the church. Thy will be done. What is the will of God? But that we obey the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, and that we seek to live or to be transformed, to be changed, you know, to live a life of high virtue. As in keeping with the, really, we just have to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. It's all there. The blueprint to our living is there. So thy will be done. And then God may have something very specific, something very, very specific for you or me or someone. Give us this day our daily bread so that we trust. It's a petition. Trust that God will provide. God will give you what you need today. He'll provide for your body. He'll provide for your soul. Bread for the body, bread for the soul. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's one of the petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. That's a petition. Forgive us. Forgive us. It's acknowledging that I am a sinner. I have fallen. I have defects. I have deviated. Remember, the just man sins seven times a day, you know? And yet, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, so often a wife will say to her husband, you know, you need to go to confession. Why go to confession? I haven't committed adultery. I haven't committed murder. You know, people will say that often. And, you know, but do we, you know, again, the question, you know, do we have that sensitivity to God's holiness, God's sacredness, therefore to all that is sacred, and therefore sensitivity to sin? The more we're in the light that is God, the more we're aware of our defects. Not overwhelmed, because the Lord, he allows us to see that we are indeed created in his image and likeness, and that's his focus. He's the artist, we're the work of his hands. Save me from myself, lead us not into temptation. Save me from myself. My inclination is to go the way of the world, or to perhaps a bad way, or to be seduced or deceived, or to buy into the illusion. So save me. I'm a weak person. Save me from myself. Lead me not into temptation. And then finally, the seventh petition, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. Okay, those are the seven petitions. Only one was repeated. Jesus, after he gave the seven petitions, he gave us the prayer, he only repeated one, and that was forgive. And he says, if you do not forgive, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So if we don't forgive, we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I have to, maybe we'll come back to this tomorrow. We'll see how the Spirit leads us. But I have to go back to this idea of forgiving, because a lot of people, that's a hard thing for them, because they've been deeply hurt, deeply wounded. And I had to mention yesterday, and you mentioned, you know, earlier on, I think at the very beginning, about being angry. I can say to you, you know, okay, I say, you know, Tony, you're angry. Don't be angry. What are you angry about? Don't be angry. Well, and you say to me, I don't want to be angry, but I am angry, you know? I can't, as much as I wish this feeling, it's a feeling away, I can't help. This is the way it is. That's the reality. It's part of the sinfulness of our lives in this world, but the sin is what you do with the anger.
Exactly.
And so if you take that anger and you haul off and hit me, or you hurt yourself, or you damage property, or or whatever. There's the sin. And it's the same thing with a heart that has been deeply wounded, offended and wounded. And I'm talking deeply so that, you know, I use the example because it's not about the feeling. It's about the act of the will, mm-hmm. not what we feel, but what we will, what we will. So I right now the pain is too deep. It's too raw. And so I know, in my mind, it's an act of the will. I forgive this person. Lord, you know, take this pain from my heart. And eventually, you know, the healing will come. It's going to take time. But nonetheless, and we struggle with this. So that's the Lord looks at that, you know. I used an example of one of my sisters whose husband left her with two little girls and his invalid mother. She was taking care of his mother and her two little girls, his girls too, they were their children, and he left her for another woman. And she told me that it took 7 years, because he never came back, it took 7 years, you know, the suffering, the pain. And she said one evening at Mass, she said it lifted, and she was all of a sudden free. So it's got to be an act of the will, because the pain is, and God allows us the suffering often, because it makes us more compassionate, more empathetic, because people are suffering these things all the time. I dealt with somebody yesterday too. You know, people suffer these things. You know, we are in a situation where we are terribly broken, a terribly wounded people, some more than others. People do bad things for a lot of reasons. We don't always know why. It's hard to, you know, get to the root cause of this evil, because it is an evil, but it's a reality, and it not only is hurting the person, but it has a ripple effect, and some people are deeply, deeply hurt. And so, but again, it goes back, because we're out of time, but Jesus, who atoned for our sins from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. And he demands that we, because an unforgiving heart cannot be received into heaven. We have to forgive. So we pray for that grace, but not to hold ourselves bound, nor another bound, but to be free. It's not so simple, but I say it's not so much what we feel, but it's got to be an act of the will, that I make this act of the will, I forgive him or I forgive her, but then I have to place in God's hands this suffering, this wound, and in due season, in due time, in an opportune time, the healing will come. In the meantime, and as a result, we become wounded healers ourselves, compassionate, empathetic people. All right, everybody, we'll be right. I mean, we'll be back tomorrow.
Exactly.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks so much for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.